Angels in the Field. I'm Martha Kleeter, Policy Analyst with Concerned Women for America, in studio with DJ, who is the founder of the ministry Angels in the Field. Welcome, DJ.
Thank you.
This is a very vital ministry that you have started, ministering to people and women like you, like yourself, who were actual victims of human trafficking.
That's right.
Tell us your story.
Well, I was 14 years old when my mother sold me as a slave in India. I was raised and born in Puerto Rico, but my grandmother was from India. So before I turned 14, I was isolated a lot. So I'm not really sure if she trafficked people or not. But I witnessed horrible human injustice in the 22 years of slavery. I saw a lot of rape. When I was taken, I was sold for money. And what they did was that they ended up putting me in rooms with other children. And I was raped. And during that time that I was with those children, I saw them leaving one by one, and I couldn't understand what was going on. With all the panic of being taken away and being sold, not knowing what was going on with me, it was really a difficult time for me at that point, so I couldn't understand, because once you're in that position, you don't understand what's going on, especially when you're a child. But when you become raped and then sent to work for organizations, that's what they call it, organizations, there are multi-million dollar businessmen that are involved in this, that are buying children for sexual exploitation. Because you can sell drugs for one time, but you can sell a human again and again and again. And it's really, it's a business.
We've known that those involved in human trafficking also, exactly, you know, trade in guns and,
yes,
and drugs and things like that.
Exactly. I was many years used for pornography and all of these different types of things out there. And we have a schedule in which all the girls had to do different type of things. And it was really horrible to see the little children just so vulnerable. You can't do anything. Because you, once you are captive, you are a slave. And they mentally abuse you, mentally and physical. They put gas in your body, and they stand in with a match, and they control your life and your whole body and your system inside you, your mind. They control it so very well. They know what to do. And the really awful thing is that these people get away with it. I mean, there's murders out there, and they go to prison, and there are rapers that go to prison, but these men and women that are buying children and women and men, because it happens to men too. I've seen men being tortured by cutting their private parts and then use them as women. I don't know how they get the money for that, but they do. They make a $9 billion business. That's what it is. So one time they decided that, because I was very intelligent, that I would become a perpetrator now. So for a victim, I became a perpetrator, kind of taking care of a $9 billion business.
Were you there to lure other children into,
yes,
the company?
What it was is this company was made believe that it was a company, a regular companies. There are regular companies out there that seems to be nonprofit organizations or whatever you want to call it. And then what they do is that they make believe that the organization exists, but really they really are reeling in humans to be sold. And that's the reality. Now, when I took control of the business, my job was to go and do cargoes and go and I seen little children put boxes and put it in cargoes, and I was not allowed to touch them. And I was always with somebody. I was not alone because somebody controlled me to do my job. And so not only that, I also saw torture. I was tortured myself because I did not follow instruction. I became really rebellious. So when I became rebellious, they decided, okay, you're not going to follow instructions. So my master decided to cut my whole side from side to side. Mm-hmm. And they took an organ, which it was the uterus. What they do is that when they rape children, the girls get pregnant. And what they do is when they get pregnant, they send them to, like in Germany, to a hospital. And then they terminate those babies. And then they'll take their parts from the woman so they won't have no more children.
You were in India when you were first caught into this.
Yes.
Were you sent around the world, other places?
Yes. I was sent to Cairo, to Germany, West Germany, East Germany. But I was making a profit out of, you know, for the company. It was really sad for me. I became really depressed because the girls looked at me like I was a good girl and they were my family and I betrayed them. But what they didn't know, it was that I had no choice. You have no choice. Mm-hmm. Once you are in that situation, you cannot get away. Some of them are chained inside to pornography and inside of places that you would never imagine. And right now, since I got out of it, I was to come back to the United States was drug trafficking coming here. They put drugs. I was a mule. And so when I came back to the United States, we came with a victim and a trafficker, and they were supposed to give a delivery. We were the delivery. And I never thought that I was going to get away, but I was happy to come back home.
How did you get away?
Well, I believe that God is faithful. And I don't know about anybody else, but I believe that God had a mission for me. And this is my mission. God opened doors in a way that he let all of the people be around me to circle me so he would not get to me.
Were you hunted down by the traffickers? Or?
You know, I just thank God that he was always with me. I really never had that problem. I always had it in my mind, and I was always looking back, because you always look back. Yes, there was points that I was in places that I didn't need to be. Like, I knew that I had to get away from, like, a secluded place, because if I stayed in the city, then I would be hunted down. So that's why I started hitchhiking with truckers, and I just said, well, where would be the best place to go? And so it's really funny, because I ended up in Washington State. And so I started looking for places like Shelton, Olympia, and Forks, Washington. That was the first place I went to, Forks, Washington. You know, God just brought me there and brought me to a place where there was a native cabins. And they don't use them only for people that hike. And I went into the woods and stay secluded there for a whole year. And then I started just saying, okay, I got to fight for this. I just kind of started getting into my mind that I needed to fight. I needed to do something to let people know and give people awareness and educate the people of what was going on. And when I told the people I was a slave, they couldn't believe it. That doesn't exist. No way. Well, you know, the 13th Amendment has been broken. And I'm very sorry to say that, but we ourselves have gotten into breaking our own laws, because we let people come and enslave people. And they had used this name of human trafficking as the word of slavery. And because, you know, it's kind of different. I don't know what is that. And then when you explain the situation, then they go, is that exist? Well, it does. Right now in my little town, we have found some few people that have been slaves in our own town, working in Shelton and 96 store. And that's pretty sad when you see that. What we need to do really is to have a tracking system where we can track and have a record of every person, because I think the statistic, it kind of shows here the statistic, approximately 600, you know, 1,000. But I think that statistic has really grown really big.
Tell us about Angels in the Field and how you got that started.
It was really funny because I was homeless mm-hmm. at that time. I was 6 years homeless because I couldn't get a job. I just called Look Beneath the Surface, and they turned me down because I was domestic, and they said that they couldn't help us. I was going to the Crisis Center Advocacy and Personal Development that's in Shelton, Washington, and I had some people, started meeting them, and because I knew that I had to start somewhere. And when I decided to that I was going to go to that place and decided to just go for help, they didn't know that I was trafficked yet. And then one day I broke down and I told Margaret, I've been victimized as a slave, and they didn't know what to do. They just go, what's going on? What is this? They had to look in the internet to see what it was. And I'm going, like, you guys don't know about slavery? So when I explained to them, it was really interesting because then they started helping me to go to the right direction and said, okay, DJ, what you need is to do this. And I said to them, I needed to start a nonprofit organization. I really want to start a nonprofit organization against human trafficking. They laugh at my face and they go, you're crazy. That's going to take a long time, girl. But Angels in the Field was born in 2007, and we've been rescuing and doing awareness and prevention and just going out there to educate the local people mm-hmm. because we got to cut the root. You know, some people say, well, let's do education, you know, and that's great. But, you know, if you don't cut the root and you start, you know, educating your officers and DSHS and all these people, you know, that needs to know. And I'm trying to get out there to get a tracking system.
What should people look for? What are the tell signs of someone who is caught up in slavery?
People that are financial bandage, you know, and isolation is a big one. If you see a person that's very depressed, that's been isolated, that you always see that somebody is speaking for them, that's a very big sign, a red sign, that they've been human trafficked. There's so many ways to really find out, because once you open and ask the right questions, you know, where you live, are you being told what to do? Do you have to ask permission to go to the bathroom? Do you have to go by rules and regulation through another person, you know? And those are really questions that are really hard to ask. We got now their internet, and that is just being used for false information, you know, and it can be in a way that they put some type of posting a job. Got to be careful when you go and get a job nowadays, because make sure that you guys, you know, look for information. Always call the place if it's really a real place to go to get a job, because it could be an isolated place and you could be, you know. Mm-hmm. Then the chat line is a big real for the traffickers to our youth. Mm-hmm. The way they speak to the youth, if you see somebody that is talking to a child about pornography or sexuality or whatever, that's a sign right there that he's reeling him in.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
for sharing your story and for using this horrible past to reach out to others who are suffering.
Yes, and I'm just hoping that we can get some more victims out of that situation. That's my goal.
Thank you.
Thank you.